And as you are turning to Isaiah 66, 7 to 14, I want to remind you that we in the PCA do not follow a liturgical calendar, nor do we follow the cultural calendar. And often Dr. Thompson has described certain cultural holidays as hallmark holidays. Hallmark because on these holidays you have to buy a greeting card. But not just buy a greeting card. You have to buy special candies for whatever the period is. And you have to buy flowers. And you even have to buy special clothes sometimes. And do special things. Like take mom out to Mother's Day brunch, even though it's on the Lord's Day and you're not supposed to engage in commerce on the Lord's Day. Those are things which I've often told my students in Mexico, you don't have to do. But we can, because that's what people are thinking about. But as I was looking through Scripture, I found there aren't very many passages in the Bible that talk about mothers. Some people would say Proverbs 31. But how many sermons can you hear about Proverbs 31? And actually, one time I was talking with one lady, and she said she hates the Proverbs 31 lady. Why? Because this lady said, there's no way she can live up to that standard. Of course, if we think about it, anything we read in the Bible is a level to which we cannot attain. But we do read about several different mothers. Eve, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Naomi, Ruth, and of course Mary. And they were admirable mothers. They did well. They must have been pretty decent. Of course, the Lord made them so. He touched their hearts. He saved them. But they were all in the lineage of Jesus. But also, if you study mothers, you find that there were some that weren't so good. Many of those mothers were mothers of enemies of God's people. So I won't bother to name them. With that in mind about mothers, let's read Isaiah 66, 7 to 14. Hear the word of God. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the point of death and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause to bring forth, shut the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her. That you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast. That you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip, and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of God. Let's pray. We do thank you, O Lord, for revealing to us babies what you would have us learn. Open our hearts and minds that we can grow in your righteousness. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. It's been nice spring weather lately. We've had a little bit of rain, but not way too much. And I've been digging in our yard a lot. I'm tearing up the whole backyard, actually. And a lot of times as I'm working or doing things, I stop and wonder, what does the Bible say about this? With the team in French camp for this past week, we replaced windows. And so the devotional I gave was, what does the Bible say about windows? Well, as I've been digging, and I started last fall, so I've had a lot of time to think about this. I've come across a lot of earthworms. And I thought, what does the Bible say about earthworms? And that was an interesting study. And I considered doing that this evening. But my social ineptitude, even with as strong as it is, I knew enough. Don't do that. I realized that some of the mothers in the congregation would not appreciate it. Carol would understand it, but nobody else would appreciate it. But today is set aside for, in the United States, as Mother's Day. And other nations didn't have that, but many of them have adopted it. I think probably not to honor the mothers, but to sell more products. And as we heard this morning, the fifth commandment tells us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Not just one day a year, but every day of the year. And we saw also as those in authority, although we'll see today, this evening, that that has a special meaning too. But let's see what God's perspective is on mothers. First, it's obvious. A mother gives birth. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Some people say that birth is a miracle, but it's not a miracle. How often have you heard, oh, the miracle of birth? But it's a part of creation. It's something God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And actually, I've talked with people about this before and have said, we human beings don't often obey God's commands. But that's one command that we've obeyed well. Right? We have filled the earth from the Arctic Circle down to Tierra del Fuego. And actually, we have people living in Antarctica too. We have filled the earth. And we continue to fill it. We see that birth also is a difficult thing. It's a painful labor. How many women's labors have thrown it up to men? You haven't given birth. But God says it's labor. In Genesis 3:16, you know, all know this. It says, and God talks to Eve, to the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth the children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. It says, in pain. But it's not necessarily excruciating pain. Because it's the same pain that is repeated in verse 17, which says, and to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. It is painful labor. And I can testify that some of the men who worked last week at French Camp Academy are still suffering. Those old muscles just don't want to move quite like they used to. We had one young man, he's probably fine and he's ready to go another week. But work is painful. Painful labor is not part of creation. It is part of the curse that we have. Men have painful labor too. And actually, a woman's labor doesn't have to be as painful as some make it. I had the privilege of being a husband coach to Carol when she gave birth to our two children. My job was to keep telling her, relax. Let the muscles do their work. Relax. And I'd massage her back and massaged her back. And with Amy, I massaged her back and massaged her back and massaged her back. 19 hours worth. Not a record, but that was long enough. Was she working hard? She was working hard. But at the end of that time, she was wore out. I couldn't move my hand anymore. I could hardly talk. It was hard work for both of us. But with Bradley, it was a lot easier. An hour and a half, and it was done. She knew what to do. She knew to relax and let the muscles work. But the girl in the next bed came expecting to have medicated birth. The anesthesiologist was late. Her doctor was late. Her husband was late. So I raised my voice. And later in recovery, she said she wouldn't have made it without being told, relax, let the muscles work. So that's the work. But as we read this passage, we see it's not talking about natural childbirth. It's talking about something supernatural. Listen to verse 7 again. It says, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Now I know Carol would have loved to do it in that order. And I'm sure the other mothers would have loved that order too. You would have loved to give birth before the pangs came, before the labor came upon you. And how long was that? The first few months? Well, some people have morning sickness more than others. But you get over it. Most get over that eventually, right? But then the balance gets thrown off, right? The weight gets farther and farther and farther forward. The moods swing back and forth. That's not what is described here. And the description continues in verse 8 with a bunch of questions. It says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. It's describing a spiritual birth. It's describing a special birth where Zion is bringing forth children. And we'll get into that later. And it's a surprise to me that even though this is written in Isaiah, hundreds of years before the time of Christ, a teacher of Israel, Nicodemus, did not understand that there was such a thing as a spiritual birth. He said, How can I be born again? Can I crawl into my mother's womb? He didn't understand. He didn't see. In John 3, that God is more interested in the spiritual birth than He is in a physical one. And that spiritual birth is furthered in verse 9. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I who cause to bring forth shut the womb, says your God? God is the one who brings life and birth. God is the source of all life. God is the one who gave that command. And He enables us to continue it forward. He's not going to shut the womb. He's not going to prevent people from being born, even physically or spiritually. Because He is the one who gave the command. And when He commands, it happens. It is fulfilled. He's the one who enables that mandate to be carried on. This prophecy does not relate to a physical birth, but to a spiritual one. Secondly, mother is a symbol of the church. When it's talking about mother, it isn't talking about the physical mothers. It is using mother as a figure for something that is much more important, for something that is greater. It's going from the lesser to the greater. And that greater is the church. Motherhood is real. But the spiritual realm is even more real. We need to think on this day of the spiritual mother. And it already said that Zion is the one that gives birth. And Zion speaks about God's people. It's not talking about that hill in Jerusalem, which was the Temple Hill, and now is the location of the Dome of the Rock Mosque. It wasn't talking about that hill that I had the name Zion. But it's talking about God's people. The gathering from God's people. We see that God here is talking about a nation being born. And Zion giving birth. It is talking about the invisible, the universal church. Often I don't do this because when I normally was preaching, I wouldn't use Greek words or Hebrew words because most of the people I preached to didn't even know the gospel yet. We often freely use church, right? And most of you know, you're the faithful few. Most of you know that church is from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia, which means called out ones. We have been called out. Called out of the world. But we've been called out of death into life. We've been called out of self-service into service to the Lord and His people. And if you've ever wondered about other languages, the German is Kirche, the Scot is Kirk. We are called out once. We are the church. But we are called out by the church too. We are called out through the church. And as we see the church, as we're called out to her, as we're given birth by her, we see in verse 10 that we are told to rejoice over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, another term for the church. But why Or when did Isaiah say we had to rejoice over the church? Isaiah prophesied at a time when things were going from bad to worse. It was dropping and dropping and dropping. He saw the dangers. He saw the judgment that was coming upon Jerusalem, that was coming upon Judea. And he was mourning already. Of course, later came Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who actually did see that destruction. He saw the pain that was involved. But we are told to rejoice over her. To rejoice over her. Because we love the church. Are we rejoicing over the church these days? As we look around at those that are called churches, and how many times have we thought, oh, so many are no longer churches. They have become synagogues of Satan. They don't preach the gospel. Many of them don't even mention the name of Jesus throughout the whole service. Many of the sermons are newspapers or magazine articles. That should be a time for us to rejoice over the church, but to mourn for her too. To ask God to send His Spirit among them, among those that have strayed from the Word, so that they can be given birth, so that they can be reborn in His Spirit. And we rejoice, though, because we love the Lord and we love His bride. We attend church on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, to commemorate His resurrection, but also His life, His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, and His return. That is what gives us the joy that we need. That is what prepares us. That is what should cause us to praise Him always. Because He is coming back. He is coming back to the marriage supper of the Lamb, when His bride is joined with Him. And we are part of His bride. But in verse 11, we also see that as we gather together, we are in that feast now. We are fed by the church. We are nurtured by the church. We are consoled by the church. Most of us in our natural lives feed ourselves 3, maybe more, times a day. Although some of us have been talking to one certain doctor here who has convinced us not to eat that much. We often don't want to talk about fasting. And yet, how many times do we come to church and are fed? How many times through a day do we feed on God's Word? How many times do we come and ask Him to fill us? If we attend just 1 hour on the Lord's Day, as evidently most had, If we even attend 2 hours on the Lord's Day and 1 hour on Wednesday for prayer, we're fasting more than we're feasting. Actually, there's one time when in my itineration, I worked up a series of sermons. I get tired of my sermons, so I would preach one and put it away and go to another one. But the main thing for all the sermons was prayer and feasting. Because we American Christians don't know anything about fasting. Now, how many times do we feast on God's Word? How many times do we want to come to Him? But finally, the church is a conduit for the Lord's blessings. He pours out His grace. He pours out His blessings. And one major conduit is the church. And what are those blessings? Verse 12 says, He pours out peace like a river. In this frenetic world that we have, where everything's happening and you're running back and forth, you have to go here and go there, and some people have schedules so heavy that they need a social secretary to know what's going on. And actually, there's one person I told needs a social secretary for the social secretary because they're constantly doing things. I won't name names, she could tell you. But it's like peace, like a river. We come to church and we receive peace. But that river isn't one that flows out only. It's one where the nations, the glory of the nations, flow in to her. That was one major motivation that I had in going overseas. Because I wanted to see more glory of the nations flowing in to the church. To see more people coming into her. And verse 12 also says, she nurses her children. As we come in, we are fed. We are given the sustenance we need. We can feed on her and grow from her. But it also says she carries us on her hip. We are given the mobility we need. We are equipped to be able to go out, whether it's just to our jobs or to the schools or even just shopping. We're equipped to go out and give the Word of God to those people. But she also bounces us on her knees. Have you ever bounced a baby on your knees? What's the baby's reaction? Most of the time. They're laughing, they're giggling, they're having fun. Is gathering in church fun for you? Are you having fun here? I know I used to not think of that. Oh, have to sit and listen to that man talk and talk and talk. And yet, as I'm fed, as I'm carried along life, He has made it fun. It's a great diversion. But actually, it makes me want more fun. Makes me want to enjoy Him more. But verse 13 goes on to say, she gives comfort. And you know, Dr. Thompson has given us, has touched on this term comfort many times. He's talked about the Greek, but I'm going to throw the Hebrew at you. It means to breathe strongly. Does that give you comfort? Have you been in a tough thing, in a difficult situation? And you finish it and it's done. But that breathing strongly can be in sorrow. It can be in pity. It can be to console. And actually we read that before. Have you ever tried to comfort or console somebody? Many people say, oh, I can't visit people in a hospital. I can't visit somebody who just lost a loved one. I don't know what to say. And my answer often has been, don't say anything. Or as Hugh Linton, the founder of Korea Mission PCA, grandfather of Joel Linton, used to say, just let your face hang out. Just be there. That's all they need. And of course, you've heard the paraclete explanation from this pulpit many times. And that's the word that the Septuagint uses, parakalese. And that means called alongside. That's what a comforter does. And that's what the church does. She walks alongside us with her arm over our shoulder and saying, you'll make it. You will go on and you will find joy at the end of the path. And 14, it tells us that we will see, we will rejoice, we will flourish in the church. The hand of the Lord makes all this known to His servants. He lifts up His servants. He puts us together as one body. He gathers us together, which was the sermon that Dr. Thompson preached last Sunday. And if you weren't here, look it up. Go online and find it. We gather together because He is the one who holds us in His arms. And if He's not holding us in His arms, He is showing His indignation against His enemies. Which are you? I hope you're a friend of the church because you've come Sunday evening, Mother's Day, when you'd rather be out, especially on a day like this, you'd rather be out on the patio grilling your hamburgers and having fun. But I hope you're having fun right here. But are you an enemy of the church? Do you ignore the church unless it's convenient for you? What is your motivation for attending church? Are you here to gain something emotionally or socially? If you've answered yes, then you're probably not one of God's people. But you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Your presence serves to destroy the flock instead of rejoicing in her. I hope if you're one of those, I'm assuming most of you aren't, but I hope If you're one of those who doesn't have the joy of the Lord, who doesn't enjoy coming to church, that you will confess that. That you will tell Him that you need joy as you gather with His people. That you need to be brought in to the bride of Christ. That you need to be consoled, comforted, fed by her. But I'm assuming that most of you are among the number. That you see, that you rejoice, that you flourish and feast in the church. That you want to be one, not just with this little body, but one with all our brothers and sisters around the world. That you want to honor her in all ways possible. That you want to be identified with her and enable her and work with her to glorify Jesus. That each one of us needs to seek to bring her glory here and abroad. That we can be prepared and others can be prepared for the coming of Jesus. And that we together can pray and prepare for Jesus to return. That the birth will take full place. This is motherhood. Being part of the church. And sharing Christ with others in word and deed so that they can receive God's word, that they can be born again through the work of the Spirit and confessing their faith and seeing their need for Jesus. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we do thank You that You do have Your bride and that she is like a mother to us. That she is the one who nurses us. She is the one who carries us. She is the one who gives us joy. And we do ask You that You work in our hearts that we may carry on that joy and that we may share the word of Christ to others so that they too can be born again, born to praise You and glorify You now and forever. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen.